thinking better and thinking together about life's most important issues. A place to finally meet in the middle, to think freely and reasonably about the big questions of life. This is Thinker Sensitive. Welcome to Thinker Sensitive. My name is Ryan Ragazine, and I am your host. Today's episode is going to be a little bit more on the shorter side. That's because I'm recording this on the week of our wedding anniversary and the week of my birthday. So we'll be celebrating the 10th year of our marriage here very soon. It's gone by very fast. And then I'll be turning age 35. And I have to say that the 30s have probably been my best decade. So if you're listening and you're in your 20s and maybe you're nearing the end of your 20s and you're feeling some angst or some trepidation about it, maybe, just maybe, your 30s will be better than your 20s, because that's definitely been my experience. Today is the first part of a two-part podcast on the nature of humans and animals, the differences between them, and how this might inform our ethics. In the HBO Max original series Raised by Wolves from Ridley Scott, two androids, which are essentially robots that look like humans, are tasked with the responsibility of saving the human race. In order to do this, they must successfully raise human children and establish a self-sufficient human colony on a mysterious planet. One of the children in the show is named Campion. Campion, as a growing child, is still developing his belief system and worldview. In the early stages of his intellectual development, Campion is basically a pantheist, but more specifically, an animist, which is someone who believes that most things, or even all things, are animated by spirit. The belief that plants, animals, and natural material have souls. There's a sequence in the show where Campion's android father, who is actually named Father, by the way, is trying to prepare the children for adult life, trying to make sure that they are properly fit for survival in a cruel and harsh world, and trying to ensure that the children truly become self-sufficient. During this sequence, Father commands Campion to kill an animal that they had caught the night before for food and a source of nourishment. But Campion defies his father's orders and chooses not to do so, in part because Campion believes that animals have souls. Later on in the show, however, Campion gets angry at one of his peers and violently strikes him in the face again and again. When his father confronts him about it and calls him out for his inconsistency, Campion refuses to apologize for his actions. He feels no remorse for acting violently against a fellow human being, but he protests against acting violently towards an animal on the basis of ethical and religious concerns. Now, this type of conflicting ethical approach and attitude is not just found in movies and TV shows, but in the real world as well. In a previous weekly episode, I shared a story from the BBC about a female farmer in Europe who received several death threats from local animal activists. In the interview, she says that local farmers were being called murderers and rapists, and that her family was told to, quote, go die in a hole, end quote. According to an article published by Josh Layton in the spring of 2021 on Metro, a news outlet based in the UK, a young couple who runs a small, family-owned, free-range farm received death threats over the phone from vegan activists who threatened to kill them and their two children. There are no doubt people living today who wouldn't touch a fly, but would touch another human being, who would never hurt an animal, but would hurt a person, who are adamantly against any and all violence towards animals, but have a history of violence against humans. According to a research experiment by Northeastern University sociologists Arnold Arluch and Jack Levin, who tested human reactions to stories of abuse against four different types of victims, a puppy, an adult dog, a human infant, and a human adult, people tend to be more compassionate towards animals than adult human beings. And a 2013 study by Georgia Regents University students with 573 participants revealed that over 44% of female subjects would choose to save their pet over another human. Although the results did vary based on the subject's relationship to the animal and the human being in question. Before I present my thesis statement for this two-part podcast, I want to be fully transparent and give some background on my personal life as it pertains to the issue of animals and humans. I would probably classify myself as an animal lover. Although I was bitten by a dog when I was a kid, it was a pretty violent event actually, involving a Dalmatian's teeth and my forehead, I have a pretty special affinity for dogs in particular. Outside of insects, because I grew up around lakes, living in the Great Lakes State, pure Michigan. Fish are the only type of animal that I've ever killed. And outside of fishing, I would probably never hunt for sport. And outside of necessity, I don't think I would ever personally hunt other animals for food. With that said, I have no problem with other people hunting for sport or food. My abstinence from such activities is simply a personal preference. It's not in any way a judgment against others. Now, it might sound odd that I would call myself an animal lover, given the fact that I've never owned a pet in my life. But I also don't have kids. And in the same way that I think it would be unfair to say that I can't be an animal lover because I'm not a pet owner, I think it would be unfair to say that I'm not a human lover because I don't have kids. I think you could try to make the argument that I'm selfish and want to be able to freely come and go as I please. That, I think, might be a viable argument. But I don't think you can make the argument that I dislike kids because I don't have any kids, and that I dislike animals because I don't own any pets. Though I would classify myself as an animal lover, I do think that there is a sharp distinction to be made between humans and animals, a metaphysical distinction. There are some who see humans and other animals as being on the same metaphysical plane. There are others who see a difference in degree. And there are others who believe that there is an actual substantive difference and qualitative distinction to be made. I personally hold to the latter, believing that there is a metaphysical, substantive, and qualitative difference between humans and all other animals. A difference in nature, quality, or essence. Because of this, I think animals and humans should be treated differently. See, our beliefs inform our actions, or at least should inform our actions. My beliefs about the nature of humans versus the nature of other animals inform how I approach and how I treat both species. Even if animals have souls, like Aristotle thought, animals don't possess the same kind of souls that humans do, which Aristotle himself also acknowledged. Animals may very well possess animal souls, but animal souls and human souls are qualitatively different in nature and character. At least that's what I'm going to try to explain and establish on this two-part podcast. Another classical idea that I fully adhere to is the idea that each thing or object should be treated in accordance to its nature. We can think about this in terms of humans and God, not just in terms of humans and animals. A friend is treated one way. A lover is treated another way. A spouse is treated yet another way. A parent or child is treated a different way, each according to its nature. But God, as the greatest and most important being of all, should be treated with a sense of ultimacy and absoluteness, a sense of awe and wonder, even worship, in direct accordance to the nature of God. The same is true for animals and humans. I believe that humans should be treated with a certain level of sanctity and dignity that animals are not necessarily owed. An example of this would be the Judeo-Christian distinction between killing and murder. The sixth commandment listed in the Mosaic Law, or the Decalogue, is "Thou shalt not murder." This commandment only applies to humans, not to animals. From the perspective of the biblical narrative, one can only murder a human. One can't murder an animal. Now, this doesn't mean that the Bible supports animal cruelty. I think good biblical theology is going to emphasize the humane treatment of animals, respect for all of God's creation, and the notion of faithful and responsible stewardship. I also think that one can make an argument that the gratuitous killing of an animal is a disorderly act in the eyes of God. But what this does mean is that the Bible makes a distinction between humans and animals, and deigns that they should be treated differently because of this. I personally agree with this distinction. So again, though I do think that I'm an animal lover, I believe that there is a huge difference between a human being and a cow, or a deer, or a rabbit, or a turkey, or a chicken, or a pig. I think that humans are radically different in nature than all other animals, and I think they should be treated as such. On this two-part podcast, I will try my best to define how and why humans and animals are distinct in nature and character. This will be an introduction to the topic, and therefore it will be pretty succinct overall. I'll spend some time at the end unpacking the ethical ramifications in a very practical and concrete manner. We are going to be doing metaphysics, being metaphysicians at first, examining the nature and essence of things. But then we are going to close with ethics, being good ethicists, examining how to ethically respond to our understandings of the nature of things in our daily living as moral agents. So we'll move from the abstract to the concrete next week. As always, Use this as a guide to think for yourself and to draw your own conclusions. Where do you stand on the nature of animals and humans? What do you think you should do? Or how do you think you should act in response? Thank you so much for listening, and we'll see you next time. This episode, and all episodes of Thinker Sensitive, are available on thinkersensitive.com, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and more. Subscribe on your favorite podcast app today to listen to more thought-provoking content from Thinker Sensitive.